from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, happy Tuesday to you, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester along with Jacob Albrecht today. Glad to have you joining us along for the ride today. Jacob, good morning to you, my friend.
How are you, Tommy? We are ready to rock and roll on this Tuesday. Glad to be here. We've got you covered. A lot of good stuff to get to today. The Royals bullpen lets them down again. Right as we go off the air yesterday, we get our coaches poll, our preseason coaches poll, which is of intrigue to us in this part of the world. Both Kansas schools at the D1 level represented in that poll. We'll get into that a little bit. Harrison Butker gets a big raise. That's a complex story that we'll dig into as well. A lot of good stuff to make our way through on this day. The IHOP hotline will be open for you the whole way. 869-1240 is the number. It's brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We'll have a giveaway today. We'll give away a little HTO, iced tea, and free rain coffee. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win that as well. Taking your calls, taking your comments on all our different video streams. You can find us on X, on YouTube, on Facebook. You can leave us your comments right there on the streams. We see those. We'll put those on the air if they're relevant and they're nice. We'll get those out on the air. We'll talk about those. And you can also, of course, listen to us, call us the old-fashioned way. Thanks to those listening to us on the Odyssey app. And thanks for those watching, by the way, on 12 News Connected. Excited for that partnership to carry us right into football season this fall. Really looking forward to that. I got some fun stuff coming this week for you. Expecting to chat with Grady Dick, Wichita's own NBA player. That'll be tomorrow in the second hour. We'll have, of course, Tim Fitzgerald on later this week. We will talk a little high school football, high school sports later this week with TJ Cleland, the Catchy Awards. Speaking of that partnership with 12 News Connected, those big awards from last season, sort of the official end of last season and transition into the new season, we'll get with him. That voting is complete and get a little preview of that with him later this week as well. Lots of good stuff coming for you. Glad you're here. Tommy, the Royals last night. We're all fired up for the game. We're all fired up for the series. It was off to a great start. And then things unrolled on them once the bullpen got out there, I thought, again. And they didn't get to the part of the game where we really wanted to see it, which was, you know, with the lead, Brady Singer went 5 2/3, couldn't quite get out of that, you know, fifth inning. Zerpa comes in. Zerpa was really bad, maybe his worst performance of the year. Let it get away from him, which was too bad because the offense kind of kept chipping away at it. But Stratton had a shaky couple of innings. MacArthur was clean, which was nice to see. But it was, you know, the bullpen letting him down yet again. It's interesting because it's very frustrating when your losses recently are all coming because of, you know, basically the bullpen not being able to do its job. But at the same time, if you're going to lose games, I guess that's the best way to lose games, right? When your starting pitching is still consistent, your offense is, you know, I thought the offense was okay yesterday, 5 runs, and they kind of stuck with it and kept chipping away. But it is something that we're going to have to continue to watch down the stretch here. They have got to be able to find 3 or 4 guys with the lead that they can count on. Really, you know, you want them to maintain that, but what you can't have is what happened to Zerpa yesterday. You can't have that kind of meltdown in a game. You know, if he comes in and gives up the lead, that's one thing. But to come in and just totally melt down two in the next inning, that's where it gets like you're not giving your team a chance at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things really stand out to me. Number one, you know, Brady Singer was in there slightly too long, you know, and I think that in retrospect, you know, I think that if Cutrero had that back, he might have been able to, I think he would have maybe tried to make a change a little bit sooner with Singer than what he did. Because you could tell, I mean, you could tell, especially going into the sixth inning, that it wasn't just quite as sharp as we had seen earlier in the game. I know he gave up a couple of runs earlier in the ball game. You know, but that's always a shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? Like that's you want to hang with the guy that has pitched pretty well from start to that point, but they needed to go to the pen. Zerpa had been, I think we talked about it yesterday, has been pretty reliable for most of the season. He did not have it last night. It didn't work for him. I think one of the big mistakes that was made with Zerpa's usage last night is they needed somebody to come in and finish the sixth and take the ball out of Brady Singer's hands. Then I would have gone with another reliever to start off the seventh. I'm not sure I would have brought Zerpa back out there.
After he gave up that hit? Or
Yeah. Like I'm just not sure.
That's been Zerpa's role sort of this season, is to do that, what he did. Yeah. I mean, him and Long seem to be the guys that they'll do that with.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that was the time, you know, or the place for Zerpa. Because, I mean, again, like, you know, in retrospect, he did not have his stuff. And so you end up, you go from having a tie ball game to all of a sudden you're down several runs just in the blink of an eye. And then they basically are playing from behind, you know, the rest of the game. You mentioned James MacArthur had a clean ninth. You know, it's easier to have a clean ninth when you're down.
He's got to pitch at some point. Yeah, he's got to work
four runs. You know, so it's a little bit, and that's fine. I think that there's part of like working through. I'm an advocate that he probably should go down to AAA for a while to try to work through his mechanics and all of that. But you know, if you're in a position where you're down several runs and it's really a low risk situation for MacArthur, you know, then that was okay. That was a fine time to trot him out there. He did have a clean ninth, but yeah, overall, I mean, the bullpen has got to try to figure out a way to stabilize itself a little bit, because that's been, when you look recently over the last week or two, more often than not, that's been the reason why when the Royals have losses, that's why they have a loss in the loss column, is the bullpen not being able to get it done. I know it's been highly situational for the bullpen for the Royals, like depending on the situation, that's when we see certain relievers. I don't know if you need to, if Cutrero needs to think about, okay, we should have like set roles for these guys so they know what to expect, you know, night in and night out. I'm not sure it's as simple as that, but you know, this situational thing has come back to bite them, I think, in a few different situations recently, especially last night.
Couple of things on that. I disagree. I would have stuck with Brady Singer where they did because of what we've seen out of that part of the bullpen lately. So I didn't have any issue with that. But another thing that was interesting to me, and as we wonder how this will shape up, you know, when the bullpen tries to take over in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, is that they didn't use Chris Bubich there. Now, we know Bubich is capable, as he's been a starter most of his career, of giving you longer outings, certainly. He's also been really, really, really good in just in general. I thought it was interesting. And look, I if you would have asked me if Singer had traffic in the, you know, in the sixth inning, who would they go get to? I would have guessed it would have been Zerpa. I mean, I think that's what he's done. But I think they had an opportunity to use Bubich there because it's in his repertoire and he's been so good, and they didn't. What does that mean? I think it probably means they're looking at him potentially as a high leverage guy late in a game now, which I think is the right thing to do just based on how much success he's had. So I thought that was interesting. I would have absolutely tried to let Singer work through that. It was, oh, who was it? Hamilton. I don't remember which Red Sox it was. Got so many young players now that just kind of threw their bat out and had that little flare single, you know, that got the traffic sort of going. And I'm like, that's a cheap hit, right? Like they're not on Singer so much. So I was fine with it. I thought Singer looked okay. I thought he was battling, and I just trust him more. I mean, that's the thing for me. Like when it comes down to, and this isn't a good thing necessarily, but when we're in that situation and you're watching and you're like, okay, what are they going to do? I just trust the starters more than I do the relievers at this point. I mean, other than Ursig and Bubich, they've all kind of been shaky. Will Smith hasn't been lately. We haven't given him his appropriate flowers, and maybe he needs to be working his way back in because he's been nails for like a month and a half now. But I trust the starters far more than I trust the relievers in totality. So if there is an opportunity and it's not obvious, I'm always okay leaning to the starter.
In totality, yes, and I agree with you. In totality, we've known this all season long that the rotation is better than the bullpen. The starters are better than the relievers. Even with the acquisitions that the Royals made at the trade deadline, that's still the case. But I think when you look at just this particular game last night, I mean, Brady Singer allowed a lot of traffic. I mean, he gave up 10 hits in 5 2/3. You know, he only walked one, so that was good. But there was a lot of traffic on the base paths for the Red Sox. Now, to Singer's credit, he was able to work his way out of those situations for the most part in the game before he got into trouble in the sixth. But I don't know. I think that when, you know, if you're just looking at that one game, even though Singer was able to work his way out of situations like that, he wasn't immune to having base runners, and eventually that was going to come back and bite him, and it did in the sixth inning. So I think just if you look at it holistically, yeah, like I'm going to always want to try to let the Royal starters pitch if I can above the relievers. But in this one specific game,
yeah, I get it.
You could tell. I mean, there was a lot of traffic on the base paths. There were a lot of like really sticky situations.
Best.
It wasn't. There were a lot of sticky situations that Singer got into. And so if it's me, it's like, okay, it's not his night. He's pitching okay, but let's see. And, you know, to your point, Zerpa had been really reliable. And so you kind of come to expect that he's going to be able to, you know, come into the game and shut things down. He didn't have it last night either.
In a perfect world, you hand that off to your, you know, whoever you've identified as your seventh inning guy to get you an extra out in a perfect world. They don't have a perfect world right now, so they're going to have to work through it. Again, it's frustrating. There is nothing more frustrating in baseball than a bad bullpen. However, of all the things that could be going wrong in big picture, it's okay. Like, it's all right for the Royals. Now, you happen to be playing the Red Sox, that you gave up a game in the wild card standings. You don't want to do that. In these series head-to-head, the big thing is you make sure you don't get swept. Now, you definitely want to win 2 out of 3 if you're the Royals. There's no question about that. The Astros lost last night. The Rangers did the Royals a favor, so that's good news, but you just keep watching it. And now you get your two big guns the next couple of nights, and we'll talk more about those games. We have a lot on the radar today to get to on the program. We've got the coaches poll that I want to spend some time with. That came right after we left the air. This Butker deal, I want to spend some time with. There's about a billion different reasons why that's really, really interesting from a football perspective, all the off the field stuff. We'll get into all of that with Harrison Butker as well. And we'll just kind of make our way through this busy Tuesday here. Again, your calls welcome on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. That is the IHOP hotline. We want to say thanks real quick to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up here at KFH. Tommy's got his cup. That's how we survive there in the studios. Lots of coffee in the early morning hours. So we appreciate them. We're going to come back. Let's get into this college football coaches poll. A little history for KU. Both K-State and KU are in there. It's crowded at the top from the SEC and the Big Ten. We'll get into all of it Let's go. It's football season. Here we go. That's what we'll hit next on Sports Daily. All Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Glad to be here with you on this Tuesday edition. We talk a little Royals there. We can always go back to the Royals. You can leave us your comments on our video stream. You can also call us on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. All that baseball talk, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, Tommy, let's dive into this. It came down too late for us to talk about it yesterday, but the coaches' poll is out. Of most note, obviously, K-State in at number 17, and we've got Kansas in at number 24. First time since 2008 that the Jayhawks have been in this poll. We wondered if they would get there. You know, we knew that they were catching some love. We wondered if they would get this kind of love. It is significant. I know it's a poll. I know polls don't mean anything. I am a believer in polls. I think it's very important to us as fans to have some attempt at a baseline of what to expect in a season. Now, is too much emphasis put on it by the end of the year? I don't know if that still happens with the CFP, but I like polls. I need polls, especially going into a season, especially now with the transfer portal and all these things. I'd like to have a gauge of what people are thinking about these teams nationally. It enhances our viewing experience early in a season. It's just a good thing. It's a good thing. Can be bulletin board material. Nothing to complain about, though, this year for K-State and KU. It feels about right to me, Tommy, for both of these schools. Should the Big 12 be, you know, up higher in the poll? There are five teams in the top 25. I feel like it's a pretty good poll for the Big 12, and I feel like it's a good poll for K-State and KU.
Yeah, I think overall, you know, I don't pay quite as much attention to the coaches' poll as I would the media poll, you know, just because I feel like the coaches' poll, like, you're not going to be paying a ton of attention to other teams, right? Like, you're paying attention to your team, and you're kind of guessing on what you think the other teams in your conference and around the country will do. So I don't put a ton of stock into the coaches' poll. When the preseason media poll comes out, that's the one that I'm going to pay closer attention to. And there's going to be a lot of similarities. I mean, I think you can look at what the coaches think and get a pretty decent idea that the media poll will be somewhat similar to that. But yeah, I mean, for K-State and KU, I get it. I'm fine overall with, you know, both places for those teams. I think the only thing that I was kind of surprised about with Kansas State is I thought they might be a little bit higher. Like, I would have put them around 15. Now they're at 17, so it's not that far off. That's about the only thing that I kind of thought, okay, well, I maybe would have put the Wildcats, you know, a little bit higher. Utah is at 13. And I think that between Utah and Kansas State, I mean, those two teams, you know, more, I think that there's obviously going to be several teams that are going to be in the mix, you know, when it comes to the Big 12 and who's going to win that conference.
It mimics the media poll that we saw in the Big 12.
But I do think that Utah and Kansas State maybe needed to be a little bit closer together in this coaches poll. I mean, they're five spots apart. So it is what it is. I would have put Kansas State a little bit higher. I'm okay with where Utah ended up, though. I probably would have done Utah 13, Kansas State 15. But other than that, yeah, I don't really have much of an issue with the poll.
Here's what I'm going to be perfectly honest with the masses about. Most of these teams, I don't yet know anything about, right? Like, I have followed, you know, Kansas and Kansas State through the offseason. I have tried to follow the Big 12 as a whole through the offseason. I have not followed anybody else through the offseason other than headline-y type stuff. So, like, if you're asking me to give my thoughts on, you know, Penn State getting in there at 9, like, I have no idea. LSU at 12. I know they lost a bunch of players. I don't know what they've done. You know, Clemson at 14 surprised me a little bit, I think, but I don't know what they've done, right? Like, and so it gets, that's what I mean. That's why I like these polls. That's why I like to see it, to get a feel for it. I'm not going to hot take you and say it's ridiculous that 8 out of the top 10 teams are SEC and Big 10 teams. I have no idea if that's good or that's bad. I don't know. I mean, if you're the Big 12, holistically, you can say, let's show them how much, you know, how good we are. problem for the Big 12 is they're going to beat up on each other this year. You know, I don't know that an end of season top 25 would look all that different, quite frankly. We've seen these types of years for the Big 12 where it's a lot of teams kind of tossed into the middle and back into that top 25, and that's okay. All that matters is the CFP, and here's why the CFP is going to change how we consume all of this. This matters a little bit less than it ever has before, right? Not in the things I said I liked about it. I still love that it gives us a baseline when we're watching games as a national audience, right? I'd like to know who people think are the good teams so I can know the magnitude of any certain game. Now, they could be wrong, obviously. They could be wrong about teams. They're wrong about teams in the preseason all the time. But that's okay. It still gives us something to look at. But the good thing about the way this is all changing is when you see that and you see the Big 12 and what you see in that poll is what the reality most think is in the preseason is that there's not an elite team, right? But there's a lot of really good teams and they're going to beat up on each other. I think this poll is very representative of that. The good news is in the old days, that kills your chances to win a national championship right out of the gates. You know that, right? Is any team coming out of this league with less than two losses or less?
Yeah, I doubt that. And okay. The other thing too is that I've always wondered this. I mean, going all the way back
out the window.
I've always wondered this going back in the day. Is it better and more advantageous to be a team at the top of the poll at the beginning of the season? And your goal then is to try to stay there to get one of the few spots that used to be available to play for a national championship? Or is it more advantageous for a team to not be at the top and try to work their way up? And that's always been really intriguing to me. When there were two spots or when there were four spots. Because,
yeah, you know,
is it better to be the hunter or the hunted? You know, and I think that really the big thing that I always come back to, and I do agree with you, because if you're at the very top, then you control your own destiny and that's it. Like, you just have to win. If you are below and you're trying to work your way up, then you need help from other teams to lose. So I do understand that. But to your point, now that there are 12 spots in the playoff, it's not that I don't care as much about these polls. It's just that, like, it's less impactful for especially the teams who are outside of that top four. And I know that, you know, for a long time, teams really, they needed to know where they were going to be at the very beginning of the season, because you set a baseline, but it gives them an idea on what they've got to accomplish to try to get into that playoff picture. You've opened the door now for a lot more teams to be able to compete for that. And so it's less impactful. It's more, I think, just interesting than anything else. It doesn't mean nearly as much as it used to.
No, it doesn't, because we have the CFP rankings. These rankings, as far as who makes it in, don't mean anything now in the course of a season, whether it's AP top 25 coaches.
I mean, I'm sure, like, even when you were down, like, when you were picking the four,
I agree.
It influences it. So
I agree. And that's why I would always say you want to start at the top, because perception is everything. If you're, if you're Georgia this year, and let's say you stumble twice over the course of the season, but you storm back and finish with two losses and are going into, let's call it, an SEC championship game. Back in the old days of a four-team playoff, you knew you were probably still going to be able to get in, right? So it mattered to have that early hype. That's what we saw kind of out of Alabama last year, right? That, you know, you get that early hype and then you work back to it and it's like, see, I told you they were really good. And then that let's say you're Kansas or Kansas State last year. You're battling all the way through toward the end of the season. Maybe you have one loss going into that game and then you lose a second. The perception's totally different of how good you are. Like, see, I told you so. They're not that good. And so, yeah, I do think it still impacts things a little bit. But the beauty of the 12 team is you can sort of throw all that out the window, we think. Now, we'll see. And obviously, when you get down to the 12th team, the 13th and 14th teams, the teams that just missed, we'll have the same conversations. But we know in college football, there aren't usually that many teams that could actually make it through a CFP format. There still may not be more than two, which is what we usually have, but it will be a whole lot more fun getting there. And when you see this out of the Big 12 now, I look at this and see five teams in the top 25. All I care about in this first year of the CFP 12 team, not being a fan, like from a you know, from what we do, we obviously want to see K-State or KU or both in there. That would be our goal for the season, right? But just in general terms, as a college football, you know, advocate and viewer, what I would want to see is all four of the now Power Four leagues get at least two teams in. That would be like my personal goal for this new system would be for eight of the 12 teams to be two, at least two, right, of each of the four leagues. So the Big 12 gets two, the ACC gets two, and then the Big 10 and the SEC can have whatever. We know we're going to get one non-Power Four team in there. So that's nine teams. So that's probably a stretch and probably not going to happen to think that, you know, you'd only have five combined representatives of the SEC and the Big Ten. I would say the chances of that are slim to none. So who misses out then on that second berth? And that's what, you know, that's sort of what you get into with this 12 team now. And as it takes shape and where that power brokering is, because there's a lot of money involved and how many teams you're going to get into that thing is in a 12 team. When we see a top 25 like this with five teams in from the Big 12, but all of them 13 or lower, what are the chances they can get two teams in? We know they're going to get one, but what are the chances they can get two in? And that's sort of what I think we focus on now as we look at the season from the Big 12 perspective.
It really becomes the question of the teams in the Big 12 beating up on each other. Will there be one or two teams that can separate themselves from everybody else? Or are you going to see four or five teams? In the preseason Big 12 poll alluded to this, that there's not any kind of clarity among the top four or five teams in the conference, that there's no clear-cut favorite. There's no clear-cut two favorites. Like, there are four or five. And so if you end up with a really muddled mess, then it's probably going to be the Big 12 champion, and that's it in the top 12. I hope that's not the case. You want to see maybe one other team be the cream of the crop and rise above and be able to, you know, at least have that second Big 12 program make it into the 12-team playoff. But I think that because of knowing the new schools that are coming into the conference, and of course Utah and Arizona are going to be the class of those, you know, new schools coming in, both of those teams are in the preseason top 25. You add in KU, K-State, Oklahoma State. Those are probably the five favorites. It's going to be really hard for them to avoid a muddled up mess when things come down to it in December.
And then you get into the other interesting things, like what is Colorado's upside? We know what their downside is. What is their upside?
I'm just saying,
win individual games, to mess things up a little bit. UCF apparently has a really good quarterback. Then you get into the middle of the league. We know TCU has been effective with portal teams. Like, can they be a surprise here? I think what I'm saying is it's not just that the top end through those five is a mess in the Big 12. It's a mess like 1 through 10. I mean, the mess is deep. It's a deep mess. I think we forget Texas Tech is all sorts of hyped up for this football season. West Virginia and Iowa State, we thought were going to be bad last year. They both finished the year really strong. And so, like, it's not just at the very top where it's going to be a mess in the Big 12. Rick says he doesn't see it. Big 10 and SEC will dominate. Other leagues get one team. I don't know that the SEC and the Big 10 are going to get 9 of 12 representatives, which would be what would have to happen, Rick, for that scenario, for the Big 12 to get one, the ACC to get one, and then you get your one non-power league. That would mean 9 from those leagues. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
You also have to take into account Notre Dame, you know, as another team that, of course, they're right there. Yep. They're in the top 10, you know, preseason as well.
Can Notre Dame take the place of the non-power five? I need to look at that. I don't know the answer to that, actually. If they can be the non-power four representative, like, could they steal a bid, let's call it, from, you know, Cincinnati of past, right? I don't know the answer to that, actually. That's an interesting question. But either way, they're not going to get 9 of 12, I don't think, Rick. So I think, you know, like, can you be the league that gets 2 or the ACC? I mean, I think there's room for it. It's just, what is it, you know, what does it take? Because here's what we know about the Big Ten. Big Ten is top heavy. And then it's bad. That's what, the history of the Big Ten. Now, we do have to add Oregon and Washington into the mix here with them. And I don't even think, is Washington even in the poll? I mean, they lost a lot of players.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
But, you know, you got to mix those two in. But forever, it's been the league of Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. And that's kind of it for teams that are actually really, really good. Now, obviously, you would have to put you know, Oregon and Washington and USC, I'm not a total believer in. So I think there's plenty of room for the Big 12 to get a couple of in, but it's going to take, you know, it's going to take navigating the messy waters of what looks to be a top to bottom, no weeks off league.
I disagree with Rick's assertion of the Big 10 and the SEC getting a bunch of teams and the other leagues getting one, but it doesn't have to do with the Big 12. It has to do with the ACC. I mean, if you just take the preseason poll into account, you've got both Florida State and Clemson in the top 15. I think that that league is more likely than the Big 12 is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Lux Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get multiple teams in the 12-team playoff. And so I think that there'll probably be a couple of representatives there. Miami is also in the top 20. So there aren't as many total teams from the ACC in the top 25 preseason poll as the Big 12. But I do think that the teams that are in there are probably more likely to make the 12-team playoff than any of the schools in the Big 12 that are at the top of the polls.
The advantage that you'll have being the ACC is it feels like there's more cupcakes, right, for the good teams to beat up on. This is the issue with the Big 12. Who's the cupcake right now? Who is it? Houston maybe?
Probably. Yeah, Houston.
But that's kind of it, right? Like there's not
Cincinnati, that's what, and, maybe probably throw Cincinnati
and that's
in there.
What's going to make it awesome for us to watch throughout
Colorado,
the course of the season.
Arizona State,
maybe, but again, like I get it with Colorado, I do, but at the same time, I also realize how much talent they did ultimately bring in, and while it doesn't seem like that's going to work, doesn't seem like that now. I can't forget what TCU did a couple of years ago with a whole bunch of transfer dudes that were just really talented. So we'll see, but I don't think you can mark that down in ink right now like you could with some games that you're going to see out of the Big Ten or the ACC or even to a very much lesser degree the SEC, right? Like there's Vanderbilt and that's about it. But you just don't have any cupcakes this year that are a guaranteed cupcake in the Big 12. And while that will be incredible for us during the regular season, it will be stressful in these rankings. There are fewer, you know, non-con games in the future, right? There are going to be fewer non-con games to sort of get out there and prove it. So it will be fascinating. And I'm sure that we'll have moments of frustration when the SEC and the Big Ten are sort of dominating this thing. But again, I would say the alternative is worse. And the worst case scenario is much worse. So if we know, if you can guarantee me that in the future of college football, at least one team, if not a good chance of two or more teams, are reaching the postseason ultimately, I'm going to take that as a win. Because the reality is it's been far less likely than that to play for it in the past. And if you told me what are the chances in the old system that the Big 12 could get there without Texas or Oklahoma in the league, I'd have told you they're very, very low on a year-to-year basis. How many times have we felt like Oklahoma State got screwed in the CFP over the years?
Yeah, it's been a lot of times.
Feels like a billion times, right? That's what we're avoiding now. So let's see it play out. And these preseason polls, again, they mean less in totality because it does come down to the CFP rankings, but the perception that you get out of this does sometimes matter in the end when you're thinking about teams' momentum or any of that little stuff that they're trying to, you know, to comb through when they're going through those rankings. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's talk about K-State and Kansas's spot in here more specifically. K-State in at number 17, Kansas in at number 24. We'll take a look at what we think about those two spots, what they could mean. Would that be good enough to get them in if we were looking at it? Obviously not in a CFP direct ranking, but just if we looked at this sort of stacking, thinking about a CFP ranking, could it be good enough? I think it would be very, very close for K-State. So we'll talk about that. We'll set up our contest here for the day. HTO, you can win some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors. You can win some free rain coffee, a free one of each from either Wichita location or down in Derby. All you got to do to win is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. Good luck on that. Win that on us here at Sports Daily. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We're going to come back. We'll continue to dig into this poll. We'll have Harrison Butker thoughts. Big contract for a kicker, for that particular kicker. We'll have that for you in the second hour as well, and we'll get back to the Royals talk. Don't go away. Here we go. It's Sports Daily on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Appreciate Crestview's support of the program. Always enjoy our time out there. We're getting closer and closer to a little golfing weather, Tommy. I'm sort of just standing by idly waiting to get back out there. What do we have today? Let me pull up the Storm Team 12 app here. Oh man, 90 degree. I might have to try to get out there and play a little this evening. Now I'm looking at the evening because I got to play twilight golf.
Yeah.
Try to play nine holes, but this might be the night to get out there and swing it around a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be terrible today. I know that like, it's going to be fairly warm as the week goes on, but this weekend should cool off a decent amount. If the rain can hold off a little bit, and I know we need the rain, so don't get me wrong, but from a golfing perspective, if you can get in a round of golf without rain and it's a little bit cooler, then that's going to be a great plan.
I want to go out there and be dumped on in a deluge. We need some rain right now. We're dealing with water restrictions.
If there could just be, like, I'm just thinking like maybe a 3 to 4 hour just gap in that lines up perfectly with my tee time, that would be great.
Rain always. Rain right on top of you if you're out there trying to play. I don't want to deal with water restrictions. We need it. We need the rain. I don't see any out there for a little while. But thank you to Crestview. If it is raining, you could still play indoor tennis. You could still go check out the restaurant and bar area. Lots of great stuff. I know they're redoing their kids club right now. They're doing a lot of renovations out there, quite frankly, over the past, I don't know, 6-8 months or so. So get out there, check it out. Tell them we sent you. We appreciate them supporting the program. All right, Tommy, we continue with this coach's poll top 25 here. K-State in at 17. You said you'd like to see him a few spots higher. I'm fine at 17. At 17, you can make all the noise you need to make. At 17, you can fly up that ranking pretty quickly. I'm just telling you that here's the good news for K-State and KU. And KU getting in is awesome just because the obvious reasons that they just haven't done it in 16, 17 years. When you have Avery Johnson and Jalen Daniels and you have two guys that are legitimate Heisman candidates, and you have two guys that play the exciting brand of football that they can play, we know, at their ceiling, if there is early season success combined with that, all the attention is going to be on those schools. So, like, if that, and that's what's going to be beautiful about K-State and KU potentially this year. If they can just win their games early, everybody's going to be watching, because it will probably be because the two quarterbacks are playing really well. And those two quarterbacks are national headline type quarterbacks. There are a lot of reasons that I'm so excited about this college football season. Obviously, that both of those teams are quality enough to both potentially reach college football playoff. That's the most obvious reason. But it's also because their quarterbacks are flashy quarterbacks that are going to bring a ton of national attention to both schools. And I think we would see that then in a poll. So I'm good with these starting spots, because there's a number in front of their name. And if they win their games early, that number is going to shrink, and it's going to shrink quickly.
Remember when KU really kind of captured the national attention when they were winning those games to start off their season under Leipold, and nobody expected them to be there. And then all of a sudden they're in the polls, and you've got College Game Day showing up, and you've got all of that. It took about 5 or 6 weeks, I think, if I remember correctly, for the national media to really catch up on KU.
Yep.
There's an opportunity for both of these teams, for both KU and K-State, to capture that attention really early. I don't disagree with you. I think that, you know, from the beginning, you're paying attention to both of these teams. Now, that does different things. I mean, that does different things to you, you know, especially for a program like the Jayhawks, that they haven't been in this position in a long time. You know, Lance Leipold has talked multiple times during this offseason. I've heard him speak and do interviews where he said, it's maybe the most anticipated season in Kansas football history, at least in a long time. One of them, for sure, at the very least. You've got to make sure that you are living up to those expectations.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the difficult thing. Where it was, I think that it was partially easier, you know, a couple of years ago when nobody was expecting you to be there. You could fly under the radar and you could just kind of win games and then have that chip on your shoulder, like, nobody's paying attention to us, you know, et cetera. People are expecting things from you, and they're expecting things from both of these teams this season. Those expectations are there. I think for Kansas State, it's going to be easier to manage those expectations because they've been there before. And you know that while you've got a new quarterback that's taking over, there are some really key pieces of the team that return. And so like that, and there are two for KU, don't get me wrong, but I think the pressure is squarely more on the shoulders of the Jayhawks than the Wildcats as far as managing those expectations.
There are so many advantages to having that number in front of your name early in a season. It just, and this is what I was talking about in the last segment, it just means people are paying more attention to you early, right? You combine that with the fact that you're going to see, if things go well in the first month of the season, let's say they both, you know, win all their games in the first month, everything's going well, you will see the chatter begin about Avery Johnson and Jalen Daniels as Heisman candidates. I mean, you just will, because of the way that they play. And that will continue to build this buzz. And you're right. Like that also adds a ton of pressure, right? You're not sneaking up on anybody this year when you are in a preseason top 25 poll, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, whether it's accurate. And I feel like it is. I feel like it's pretty accurate based on what we've seen, what we expect. I mean, basically for KU, and they lost some players, don't get me wrong, but you're adding Jalen Daniels back to last year's team in a lot of ways. And again, that's not taking anything away from what they lost. It's just like, in reality, they should be better, right? For K-State, they lost even more to the NFL, but they're adding Avery Johnson to the mix. And they still return a lot, too.
And Dylan Edwards. They're bringing in Dylan Edwards, too.
And Dylan Edwards, right? And I think nationally, people aren't quite as much on that as we are here, obviously, because we watched him in high school. But yeah, remember how when things were going well for Colorado last year, remember how big a part of that he was. And so it all adds to this intrigue early. And like, and we'll do this maybe in the second hour. We can look at the first month and, like, you know, How tough will it be to open with four straight wins for both of these teams? Because if that happens, I'm telling you, they're going to climb. They're going to climb, and they're going to be people watching them, and they're going to be in every window nationally, television-wise, that they possibly can be. Like, it's all going to go well for them. And I think it's because who they have at quarterback and because they have a little number in front of their name to start the season. We'll get into that in the second hour. We'll get more into the Royals as well. The Harrison Butker story. Haven't touched on it yet. That's where we'll start hour number two. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily on a Tuesday. Don't go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.